I don't think it's why I believe the Lord laid this on my heart, but I do believe that we go through seasons in our life. And seasons of our life, and just like we go through seasons in the natural sense, we go through, you know, spring or summer, fall or winter. Well, you have different seasons of our life. And sometimes we do that in a spiritual sense. But when all of it boils right down to it, we've got to know that God is a God that is good. We sing the songs about the goodness of God. And I wanted to share with you out of Psalm chapter 34 today. It's not a new psalm. It's not a new one by no means. And it's one that I too have preached out of. But as I begin to study about this morning, I wanted to turn there again today as more of a reminder, more of a reflection. Those moments in our time when we ought to pause, we ought to have those what we call, however you pronounce it and however you understand it to be pronounced, those things at the end of the Psalms when they say, Selah. That Selah at the end of the Psalms is oftentimes meant to do one thing. And y'all are going to have to excuse me for a moment. Those of you that's online, I meant to do this before I headed over there and I forgot. But when you think about a Selah moment, it's pause and think about it. It's take a moment and reflect upon what you just read. And that's kind of what we're going to do for a little while this morning. So Psalm chapter 34, I want to preach this morning on the goodness of our God. Verse 1 of Psalm 34 says this, I will bless the Lord every now and then when I feel like it. It's not what it says. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My God shall make her boast in the, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked upon him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. I don't know about you, but that's a good verse. I want to read that one again. It says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Look in verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth him. Verse 8 says, and this is the best one of all, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Stretch your hand this way and pray for me this morning. Father, we love you today, and we thank you, Father God, for this day that you've given us to come here today, Lord, to do nothing more than to brag on Jesus, nothing more than to exalt his name and to lift up his name and to brag upon who Jesus is, to brag upon you, God, our Father, because, God, you are a good, good Father. And, Lord, I just come before you today, Lord, to just magnify, to lift up and to edify and to bless your name, Father. For, God, I just pray, God, that you would help us today, Father God, to overcome any sense of discouragement, any sense of despondency that's in our hearts today. Lord, we pray, God, that you would just lift up one another that's in this room today. Father, there's much anguish in our society today. There's much trouble in our society today. But, oh God, you are a refuge. And God, you are our strength. And God, you are a very present help in trouble. So, Father, I pray, God, your blessings over every home. I pray, God, your blessings over every house. I pray, God, your blessings over every situation, God. Every phone call that I have had this week, Every person I've spoken to this week, God, it seems like, God, that everywhere you turn, God, there's one thing after another going on in people's lives. But today, God, we're just going to pause for just a few moments and we're going to say thank you, Jesus, that God, that we do have you. And God, you are a restorer of all things. So, Father, speak to us. Holy Spirit, breathe upon us. And allow, God, everybody in this room, God, to be lifted up in their spirits today and those that's watching online. And Father, we ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. When I began to think about this message this morning, I began to think about what the Word of God said in verse number 8. It said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." One writer may have put the words like this, that tasting is something that can be experienced through and by the individual, that they too may have an agreement with the words that are stated. Oh, taste and see. The only way that we can know that God is good is by experiencing God for Himself. I'm going to pick on Horace and Nora. Nora's not here to hear this, so I'll put Horace in the loop. These individuals make great coconut cakes. I mean great coconut cakes. Birthday cakes that are coconut. Hint, hint, wink, wink. Just kidding. But you don't know what that good coconut cake tastes like unless you've experienced it for yourself. You and I, we can tell people all day long that God is good. That we can brag about God, and we can use the old cliche, and we've said it for years, and we've repeated it back and forth to each other. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. But yet in the same regard, unless that comes from life experience or a salvation experience, it is nothing more than just mere words on the page. When we begin to look throughout the Scripture, we begin to look at Jesus, and I want to mention this and then I'll go back. But Jesus, even a description of Jesus in His, the core quality, if you will, of His nature. When you look in the book of Acts chapter 10, verse number 38, is actually where the disciples was given a description of Jesus Himself, of what Jesus actually went about doing. And the Bible said how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, inherent of His nature, inherent in His character, inherent of what Jesus came to this earth to do. The Bible describes it as good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him. When you begin to look at this, you see this in several different places. When you look at the word that God is good, when we see that, it implies the benevolence part of God in that regard. The word there describes Him in the benevolent part of God. It implies that God's generosity toward us, but it's so much more than just that. The couple of different the words throughout the Vines Dictionary of the Bible, I use the Vines Dictionary a lot, and it's an agathos, and it talks about how that it describes a person. It's an adjective that describes the noun, if you will. And it says that it describes that which is being good in character or in constitution, if you will, or in a moral sense, or frequently it speaks of that in the moral character of an individual. That again, it goes back and it says that God is essentially and absolutely good by His very nature. Good. And then you go to Matthew. I'm going to turn there really quick in the book of Matthew chapter 19. There's a couple of different scriptures there. And you see this in verse number 16 and 17. And when you begin to look at this, there's a story of this young rich ruler, Mark also records this. And when he comes there and he says, behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I might have eternal life? The next thing Jesus' reply back to him in verse 17 says, and he said unto him, why callest thou me good? And I never really had a, when I've thought about the scripture, I don't know that I've ever thought about it the way I thought about it this week. Why is Jesus telling him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Because Jesus, and I hope I'm right on this, because Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life, but yet Jesus too, the Bible says, was tempted at all points like we. Jesus had a flesh part of him, yet without sin, but the Father God is perfect in all of his ways, and God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. So it looks at the inherent nature of God, the character of God, and Jesus came to this young rich ruler and he said these words to him, knowing not that Jesus was flawed, but knowing that he had the potential to be flawed in all reality because he was still, the Word was made flesh, but he wasn't. The Bible says, yet without sin, he did not sin, but yet God cannot sin. Hello, somebody. Because God is not a person that is subject to the elements of the flesh like you and I are. And this young rich ruler, that's not really the message, but he thought again about how that one might be able to merit some form of goodness in order to obtain a position in eternity. And you and I today, we think about the flawed, I guess this is a word, the flawedness, I hope that's a word. Somebody help me on that if it's not. The flawed condition of humanity. You know, we all look at our own selves, and I don't know if there's a whole lot of good, if you talk about good, in all of us, because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we've all been wayward. The Bible says this in the book of Isaiah, that we've all been wayward in our intents and in our heart, but yet God gives us the opportunity to come into a relationship with Him, and we can experience God's personal goodness. And that's what the psalmist was saying, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And we look in a couple of different places. I wanted to share this in a couple of different places there in Psalm 119 and verse 68, which we're going back to the psalm. And Psalm 119 is a very long psalm. I'm not going to get into that whole thing, but I wanted to mention this one verse. Psalm 119 and 68 says these words. Am I getting it? Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. Is that not the prayer of all of our hearts this evening or this morning or whatever time it is? That God would see our hearts today? But yet more than that, it is that God, the psalmist prayed. And when he prayed, he had prayed that he would experience God's goodness. And you and I, one individual was talking about this, that God as our earthly parent wants what is good for our children. And even the verse that I used maybe around Christmas time or Pastor Appreciation Day time, I thought about this verse of scriptures. I went through this because God wants you and I to experience His goodness. James 1:17, that particular verse, that gives us, again, a description or in terms of understanding the goodness of who God is. And the Bible, again, as much as we want what's good for our children, the Heavenly Father wants what's good for His children. James 1:17, again, it says that in God there is every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither the shadow of turning. So we base this on the scripture that the Bible says, that again, Romans 8:28, we know that scripture, that all things work together for good to them that love God and them that are called according to His purpose. And we look at the inherent nature of God, which is His character, which is the benevolent part of God. But yet we see that God is good and all the time, and all the time God is good. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. It comes through that experience. Now, when we look at the creation story and we look at how God created everything, we look and we see that Genesis 1, and you don't need to turn there, I'll just tell you what it says that really quick. It says, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was good. So we look at that, and again, we come to an understanding of how that we address this whole thing with God today as being good. Now, let me shift gears for just a moment, because I had to think about this a little bit this week, and I've tried to think it through as much as I could to prepare for a few minutes together. When, again, the psalmist teaches us all throughout the book of Psalms, it was the psalmist that over and over repetitively that reminds us of God in his character, God in his nature, God in who he was, and he says it over and over and over that God is good. Now, when we look at life today, as we understand life to be, you know and I know that there is a lot of things going on in life today that if we're not really, really careful, that this word that I'm getting ready to tell you about is a word that all of us at some point or another have most likely experienced. And really, I wanted to tie these together, and when I was studying and I was sitting there yesterday and trying to get everything put together, I thought, how can I link these two things together? How do you link the goodness of God and then link together what oftentimes people are dealing with in our society, this little word, discouragement? We see discouragement is in so many places trying to overcome our lives today. But yet, here's one of the things I came across, and it says, what is the key to overcoming discouragement? And I'll get into a little bit of that in a few minutes. But one of the things that we understand was the word discouragement comes from the root word courage. The prefix dis, D-I-S, means to the opposite of. So discouragement is the opposite of courage. When we are discouraged, we have lost the motivation to press forward. And it seems like, as the song says, that the mountain seems too steep, or the valley that's too dark, or the battle is too fierce, and we lose the courage to continue. But yet, Pastor, I thought you just told me that God is good. But yet, in our world today, it seems like that it seems a fight every day. Now, I'm just talking about my experience. This may not be for everybody in the room. You know, the old saying is, if the shoe fits, wear it. It may not be for everybody in the room. Everybody in the room may not have experienced discouragement at a level that other people have experienced discouragement. As I always say, if it's not for you, just throw it over your back to the person behind you, because I'm sure somebody in this room has faced discouragement at some time or another. When we think about discouragement, and I even get asked this question. I get asked this question from time to time. And this is the most difficult question I feel that we're asked often as a pastor. And here's the question. If God is so good, preacher, that's when I know people wants to get the point across when they say things like that. If God is so good, preacher, tell me why there's so much suffering in our world today. I got your attention now, Nola. And you know what, Brother Earl? A lot of times I stand there blank-faced, because I want to defend God. I want to defend the Word. I want to say the right things, and I want to do the right things by what God is saying for us to do. And, you know, basically, the only thing that I can come up with is really just a simple answer. It's probably not an answer that most people would be looking to. But it says, in my view, it says, why is there so much suffering? Bottom line is simply this, Brother Tim, is because we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that is susceptible to Satan. We live in a world that is fallen. We live in a world that is controlled, if you will, by the prince and the power of the air. And you know, when I begin to think about these things, and it's hard sometimes for people to bring these two things together, that God is good and yet we suffer. It's hard for me sometimes to say that God is good and yet we suffer. Now, don't misunderstand what the preacher is saying. Because when I thought about this, I thought, and don't misunderstand me and don't get mad at me when I say this, because I do not take any situation lightly as a preacher, as a pastor. I don't take nothing lightly. I really don't. But I thought about this, that you and I were not meant to stay on this earth forever. And we worry more sometimes about staying here than going there. In all reality, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. But I'm a Christian. Why am I going through what I'm going through? Because the Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. Now, I'm going to jump across the page in the lesson here today. I'm going to jump all the way across the page to Psalm 34. And I'm going to look in verse number 17. Now, there's other verses down through there that I could actually... I could really do a lot of these verses, but let me just go back to verse number 15, and then we'll move forward. It says in verse 15, the same psalm, Psalm 34, 15, and it says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. That verse alone should be a plus for you and I that are going through discouragement to not be discouraged, to understand and to rehearse in our own lives and to repeat it back to ourselves that God is good. I don't understand it. I don't know why. I don't know why I've got to go through what I'm going through. But God, I am going to trust You. Real trust in God is when you can trust Him when you're going through the valley of the shadow of death. As David said, for Thou art with me, for Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. But yet we look at this, and he says in the scripture in verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. And somebody says, I've cried and I've cried and I've cried and I've called and I've called and I've prayed and I've prayed. What am I supposed to do, Pastor? My only answer to you is just simply keep on doing what you're doing. Now let me go on. And he says in 16, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Don't misunderstand what I'm getting ready to say, because friend, there's going to be a payday someday. The evil and the wicked and those that are causing havoc in our world today, and those that are thinking that they're getting by with sin and evil and wickedness and harm and everything they're doing to families and society, my friend, one of these days, there's going to be a day, the Bible said, that every knee will bow and every tongue confess to the glory of God the Father, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the Bible reminded that evil and wicked servant, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. Our consolation, my friend, it's not in this world, and it's not that we're looking to be rewarded on this side of eternity. We've got to be faithful while we can. The face of the Lord is against them to do evil and cut off the remembrance of them. Look in verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth. One writer, I don't remember which one I was reading from, But he said, as you pray and as you seek God, as you be faithful to God, as you trust in God, as you put your trust in God, your confidence in God, just remember, my friend, you may not ever get the answer that you're looking for on this side of eternity. But my friend, one day we will hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." What you and I need to do is to do what the Bible says, that we put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and we lift up our voices and we sound the alarm, and we let a lost and a dying world know that Jesus Christ, Brother Robert, is exactly who He says He is, and there is no shadow of turning. And as God was faithful then, that God will be faithful now. Hello, somebody. And we see this in the Word. The righteous cry to the Lord in verse 17. Excuse me. And He says, "And He delivereth them out of their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such of a contrite spirit." But verse 19 says, when you look at 19, "But many are the afflictions of the righteous." Look at your neighbor and say, "Fasten your seatbelt. This is going to be deep. Put on your seatbelt." You know what that verse means? That all of us are going to go through something. God is good, preacher. The Bible again reminds us in Matthew 4 and 45, and then we'll go right back to the Psalm. In Matthew 4 and 45, and I want you to look at that verse of Scripture for a purpose. I don't want you to miss it. Because I don't know how many times I've had to remind myself of this Scripture. Of where it's a reminder that God is no respecter of persons, but yet God lets it rain on the just and the unjust. But yet this Scripture says that many are the afflictions of the righteous. Now look at this verse. Verse 19. "But the Lord delivereth him out of them all." And again, it goes back to what I said earlier. How is all this going to work out? It's all in His timing. It's all in God's timing, and He's God, not me. I remember these verses of Scripture when there was a great task in front of a young man by the name of Joshua. Joshua was the successor, if you will, of Moses. How would you like that job? And so Joshua was getting ready to lead the children of Israel over into Canaan land. And you turn to the book of Joshua, you can read this. Verse number 2, chapter 1 and verse number 2, it opens up with a very bold statement. And as it opens up there, it says, "Moses," look at this, "my servant is dead." Wow. Now that, my friend, would get you discouraged. Because all this time, you've had the leader, you've had what you've needed, but all of a sudden, everything you've had is no longer there. And the message that God had told Joshua was Moses was dead, and then He says, "Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, unto the land which I do give unto them, even to the children of Israel." He makes them a promise in verse 3, and He says, "Every place that thy sole of thy foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." God has a plan. But I thought that was for Moses. No, it was for Joshua and the children of Israel. Because Moses was told, "You're not going to get there because you disobeyed me, because you were supposed to speak to the rock and you hit the rock. You didn't do," you know, that's part of another message. And then He gives him the the geographical boundaries of where they're going to lead them in verse 4. Verse 5 again is a promise that nobody's going to be able to stand against you all the days of your life. And then he says in verse 5, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Great promises, great word. It's amazing how that when we first get saved, we do believe that all the promises of God are yea and amen. I mean, we could stop hell with a squirt gun. When we first get saved, and there ain't nothing going to stop us. You know what I'm saying? But let life start happening. Let life start trying to take its toll on you. And it seems like that with that, it's wave after wave of things that comes into our lives. You think, well, Pastor, you're really trying to depress me today. No, I'm trying to get you to understand that these things in life will happen. God told Joshua, as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. As I was with this former generation, so I was with them, so I shall be with you. Let me use an analogy of this. I didn't think about it until just then. And I don't mean any disrespect, but I'm just telling you now that when this church was over on Dillon Street, I don't know how many years it was over there, 50, 60, I have no idea. Somebody can help me with that. But here's what I want you to see. As I was with you there, so shall I be with you here. I was with you on Dillon Street. I don't know the address over there. As I was with you over there, I will be with you at 1200 West Holly Hill Road. Don't be discouraged because the people that's passed away that's been a part of this congregation for 60 years or however it may have been, as I was with them, so shall I be with you. And it is time for you and I to understand that as the promises of God has been with former generations, that God is with us even now. One person said this, and I wanted to just read this. This is not my original writings, but it was so good, I just wanted to share it with you. It says, the key to overcoming discouragement is to remember God's promises and how to apply them. When we know the Lord, we can stand upon the promises He has given His people in His Word. Whether or not we see the fulfillment of those promises in this lifetime or not, as God promised the children of Israel and others in the book of Hebrews, we're not going to turn there, but many times we see in the book of Hebrews, Faith Hall of Fame, in Hebrews 11, if you'll go back and remember that, it says, by faith, Abraham. By faith, Sarah. By faith, Rahab. By faith, all these different ones, even down to Isaac, even down, all the way down to those disciples. But yet it reminds us in the latter part of that verse that all of these died in the promise. And I go back to reiterate, we may not forever and always see every fulfillment that God has over our lives in this lifetime, but yet we cannot get mad at God and we cannot get discouraged as we travel this journey through. And the Bible said they were pilgrims and they were sojourners. I don't know that we're not the same thing. Hello, somebody. I mean, if we talk about heaven so much that we get our feet planted so much into this earth that all we care about is this earth and we neglect our souls, what good is all the riches of this earth going to do us when we stand in lieu of eternity? So don't let the things of this world discourage you and distract you from knowing the goodness of God. Hey, if you go after anything, go after the goodness of God. And then again, when the writer was saying this, it says, this knowledge kept the Apostle Paul pressing forward preaching the gospel, eventually ended up in a Roman jail where he lost his life. But yet from prison, Paul wrote these words in Philippians 3 and 14, I press on toward the goal. I press for the prize, the upward call, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Yet we can see that he could press through his persecution. He could press through his rejection. He could press through his beatings. He could press through his discouragement. Because of all of this, his eyes were on the ultimate prize, and that simply was hearing the Lord, our God, and our Savior say, well done. Don't let discouragement overtake you. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. There have been times in my own life, even in recent days, when I have experienced discouragement to the level that I did not know how much lower I could go. Now, you don't know that. Most of you, because I don't talk about it. Some of you do. But man, I'm telling you, friend, we all have things in our life. And I'm trying to just get you to focus from looking at all the negative and all of the bad to getting your eyes focused back on Jesus. When Joshua and these individuals were getting ready to go over into the promised land, God knew. You can read it in the Old Testament. He knew that the Canaanites was there. He knew the Amalekites was there. He knew that the Hittites was there. He knew that if they were going to take over that promised land and be the beneficiaries of the promises of God, sometimes there's discouragement in the process. How do you know that? By the Bible. I know that by the Bible because if you look in this text, if you go down in Joshua 1 and verse number 6, this is what God was telling him. And again, if God would have not known that Joshua and others was going to deal with discouragement, he would not have told them to be strong and of a good courage. And he told them point blank, be strong, be of good courage. He says, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance of the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Let's read verse 7. Again, he reiterated and he said the same thing again. Man, I'm telling you, again, he told him, don't be discouraged. Look at this. Only be thou strong and be very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. God has a plan. Cling to God's promise. He talks about verse 8, the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Keep the word, hide thy word in thy heart that you might not sin against God. Put it on the frontlets of your eyes. Put it on the doorpost. Put it everywhere. Cling to the word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understandings in all of your ways. Acknowledge him and he will direct your path. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying the word of God is alive, is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Heaven and earth will pass away, but thy word will stand forever. Hold on to God and to his word. I hope I'm not boring you, because this is what God put in my heart for today. He said, when you look at this, in verse 9, again, he says it again. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong. Be strong. One writer, the same one, said, we easily become discouraged when we seek reward or affirmation from those around us. If our service or our obedience is based upon immediate gratification, we may be setting ourselves up for discouragement. Jesus even reminded us not to always take the easy path, but he warned his followers to consider that before they started. In other words, we have already counted the cost of discipleship, and we have more strength to face the battles ahead when we when we are not so easily discouraged, when things don't go our way, because we know the battle is the Lord's. I know that was a lot. In other words, even those that Jesus dealt with, I'm not going to take the time to go into that. It was a moment of life where Jesus told his disciples, pick up your cross and follow me. Well, it goes back to our Psalm text, and I'll get back into that in a minute. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Maybe you came today, and maybe you are carrying the weight of the world upon your shoulders. Maybe me, as a pastor, telling you that God is good was nothing more than just, I say it like this, Charlie Brown in your ear. Everybody know what Charlie Brown is, and these younger people may not, but we know. Womp, 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 womp. You know, the Charlie Brown comicals that we used to watch on TV, Charlie Brown, the teacher, and the Charlie Brown and the students, they didn't know they were prophesying, did they? Because kids today with teachers in their ears, womp, 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 womp. A lot of times that's the way we are with God when we don't live our life by faith. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Oftentimes we get discouraged when we don't see God in the midst of it. And I've been there, friend. I've got a blue ribbon in this area. I mean, you cry yourself to sleep, you sleep a little bit, and you wake up, and you're still crying over the same thing. Over and over. So if it was nothing more than from the pastor to remind himself, it's your birthday, be happy. I'm just kidding. Today's not my birthday, by the way. It's the 4th. It's just a reminder that God is good. You know, there's a song that we sung. I don't know if we've sung it here, but I've sung it years ago, and it was one of those vineyard songs back in the day that said, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Pray in the spirit and with the understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. We'd clap and we'd get excited and we'd shout because it was a reminder that we could put on the garment of praise over top of the spirit. It's Psalm 63. I'm not going to turn there and read it. But Psalm 63, and I think it's verse 3 or something like that. But 61 and 3, I'm sorry. But it talks about the goodness of God as a reflection of our hearts and our praise. You stand with me today. Today you can be discouraged when you leave here today. You can have your life filled with discouragement. And I tell you, it's a reality. Or you can turn every bit of that. Don't the Bible say, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you? Preacher, you don't understand. Look at me. I don't understand. I don't understand where every person in this room is walking through. I don't. One of the things that they told us in our intern program, Brother Sherman, I don't know if they did it to you or not, but they said to us as pastors, you may go through things with your members, you may go through things with your flock, but don't ever tell them, I know how you feel. Because you don't know how they feel. You can be empathetic. You can empathize with them. But you've got to be there for them while they're feeling the way that they're feeling. And you have to be there through their discouragement and through what they're dealing with. But today, when we look back at this reflection, Psalm 34 and 8 says, the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see. I can tell it all day long. I can scream it. I can holler it. I can preach it loud. I can preach it soft. I can run aisles. I can jump pews. I can stand on my head and tell you how good God is. But until you want that experience for yourself, you're never going to know. Thank you, brother. My friend, Brother Maynard, he's a good buddy. You never know till you do it. Bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you, God, for this day. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I'd be the first one to say today, Lord, I'm not worthy. I'd be the first one to say, God, thank you for your mercy. I'd be the first one to say, God, if it wasn't for you, where would I be? But yet, because of you, I'm where I'm at. And Father, I thank you, God, for every person that heard this word today. Over and over again, Lord, you told Joshua, don't be discouraged. And Lord, I thank you, God, today that we have one that we can depend on. We have one today that we can call on. And his name is Jesus. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Maybe you're in this room today, and maybe today it seems like discouragement has tried to overtake you. Seems like that your life today is really at a place that you never ever thought that your life would be. But today, you want to just ask Jesus into your heart. Maybe today you want Jesus to come and heal every broken part. If that's you today, just simply call on his name. Say, Lord Jesus, I just come to you. I come to you by faith. I bring myself to you. Everything I am, everything I'm not. Lord, I bring all my brokenness. I bring all of me, Lord, every broken piece. Lord, I bring my life to you as a living sacrifice. And Lord, I ask you even right now, Lord Jesus, to look upon my heart. And Lord Jesus, forgive me of all of my sins. Wash my sins away. Cleanse me, Lord. And help me to be a follower of Jesus. That too, when discouragement might come my way, that I will have one that's in my corner. And his name is the Lamb of God. Father, be with us. Help us, God, to be found faithful as we endeavor to do your work and your will. For it's in Jesus' name I ask and pray.